2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here, 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell in front of me. We've got a lot to get through today. Jazz take the L last night, but Scott took a lot of heart in last night's game. We'll talk to Coach Tim Lacombe coming up in, during the show. That's all you need to know. We've got all sorts of stuff going on today. We have stuff to jump into from all sides here. The news dropping down in the world of the NFL is that Sean Payton is no longer going to be the coach of the New Orleans Saints. He says he's stepping away from coaching. Not sure if that's going to be the case, but
those guys can never step away.
I'll step away, sure, until you get a better offer. But we're going to start things off, though, talking a little bit about the Pac-12 and whether or not BYU and the Pac-12 are going to have a simpatico relationship going forward, scheduling each other after BYU goes into the Big 12. It's where we're going to start the show. It's the cut right here on the program. Let's get to it.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Cut brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical. If you snore at night, you're currently using a CPAP machine to treat sleep apnea. Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. Visit soundsleepmedical.com.
Simpatico?
Yeah. It means they jive.
It's a big word, Alex.
Well, it's...
It's right out of the gate.
It means they get along. Yeah.
Will the Pac-12 and BYU get along? Who wants to get along with a team that beats all the teams in your conference? I mean, that doesn't seem simpatico. Adversarial.
Oh, bust that one out. I heard Hans and Scotty today having this discussion about how Scotty's now into Wordle. Come on, man. We had just a few of us hanging on in the world who weren't playing Wordle anymore.
Don't know what that is.
Scott, I'm not going to introduce it to you because you're going to do it.
No, I'm not.
That's the thing is, Scott is one of those guys that will be on his phone and going, I got it in four tries. Like during the middle of the show, you've had your games, your mobile games that you've loved.
I don't play games.
You're like, I erased Gemstone Magic from my phone again.
Never heard of that. I'm doing research. If the phone's ever there.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Yeah. Well, we're using big words already today. Scott busted out adversarial. I busted out simpatico. Although simpatico is not really a. It's not really a big word. It's just it's multilingual. All right. BYU is entering the Big 12, of course, in 2023. And we were looking at BYU's schedule with the Pac-12 teams that are on future games to be played. Utah, of course, has a handful of those with BYU going forward. The question is always going to be, I think, if this game is going to be consistent and played 2024. They take another break in 25. Then they go 26. They kind of do an every other year thing. They're going 24 through
30, through except 30. For 29.
29 is getting skipped.
Yeah.
So that's good because you need that one on the calendar. That's one that BYU is going to be looking at. And I think keeping USC on the calendar is something that you would want to do. The thing is I don't know what going forward the college football playoff expansion, it will have a definite impact as to what BYU would do in those years going forward.
Do you understand what's happening here?
Tell me what's
going on. Do you have any idea what's happening here?
I feel like you're going to tell me.
When I saw this, it was the first thing I thought of. Like, immediately, I'm just like, oh, my goodness.
What?
BYU is actually going to big time
yes.
the Pac-12. That's all this is about.
It's when like, you start going, I don't know if I want to play we'll the Pac-12
decide,
anymore.
Right. We'll decide whether we want to
you
play you or not.
I love it.
This is insider baseball right here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it now because it's long since happened. I heard there were discussions, and this isn't hearsay. I heard this. There was a strategy to basically make BYU irrelevant at the University of Utah. Okay, and it was and
are there memos? Can we find some? Can we dig up some?
I will just say
are there some emails back in Scott Mitchell's history
when Utah went to the Pac-12, BYU was whatever feeling that it was. Well, I wanted to say left out.
No, they were.
But right, they were left out. But they thought that independence was a better option.
Well, that's what you
they
say.
They spun a good face on it.
Right,
let's
that's what
that.
You say when you're not invited when you to get the prom. You go, I'm having the prom at my house.
So at that time, the whole discussion at the University of Utah is, how do we make BYU route? Like we have an opportunity to squish them.
That is
like
terrible.
Just squish them. And so the discussion is, well, let's not even schedule them. Let's just like, it's just another school.
Which we've
it's,
already seen.
Right. It's how they do it. And I woke up today, saw this, and I just said, BYU, how the tables turn. And I look, I'm a Utah guy here, but it just feels like BYU now has that kind of the shoes on the other foot, and maybe we won't play you. Now, does it impact Utah, and does it impact the Pac-12? It absolutely does. Like this isn't just oh, it doesn't really matter. You know, they're another Power 5 school. But when you're trying to schedule non-conference games, like this is a problem for the Pac-12 because BYU's close. So it's a quality opponent.
It's a P5 opponent now.
And so, you know, where are you going to find other non-conference games? I mean, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. I'll tell you what might happen from this. You want to know what might happen in my mind?
Let me hear it.
Utah State may become an option for Utah to play now that BYU is going to the Big 12.
Well, BYU's not going to big time Utah, I don't think ever. And I don't think they should. That's not Kalani Sitake. No. I mean, there are fans
Alex,
that
look,
wish. There
oh
are fans that wish
goodness.
That they could do that.
Oh, my goodness. Come
Bronco
on.
Bronco Mendenhall's not running
I
this program anymore.
I know all those
anymore.
Folks down in Provo hate Utah. Okay?
To try to beat them is
do
what
not
we're
tell me Kalani Sitake.
It's not about hating them. They want to play them, though. Are you kidding?
No, they don't want to play
them. Of course they
want
to play Utah.
Look, if they had a chance. No.
Going on right now?
If BYU had a chance to go, we're going to big time Utah, they'd do it in 2 seconds. If they thought there was an – I don't want to hear how everybody gets along and everyone plays nice. Kyle Whittingham, by the way, would want to get BYU. Okay,
him on the schedule, you mean?
No. Like if he didn't have to play them, if he does not like that game. Hates it.
I know because he and Bronco were kind of the same thing where they were like, I don't like this game.
No.
They're not a rival of ours. But Kalani's not that way. And BYU fans want that game on the schedule. Absolutely.
Kalani's not that way.
What are you saying?
Oh, my goodness.
Of course he wants to play this game.
Well, what I'm saying is what I've been saying for the last 5 minutes.
Get him on
BYU,
the horn.
If they have a chance to
spurn
like,
Utah?
Yes.
Just for the sake of
think
saying
think about this. When, okay. you, when you get an opportunity, my mom used to tell me, everyone's going to get theirs. It all comes back in the end. Everyone's going to get theirs at the end of the day. And it just might be BYU's turn to get theirs.
BYU fan loves that idea.
All I'm saying.
BYU fan loves that idea. I will say, the BYU fan loves the idea of going, We don't actually need you that much. And actually maybe mean it.
In their best USC voice, by the way.
Oh, darling. I don't think I want to go up to Salt Lake City this year. I'd rather play in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Could you imagine BYU saying, you know, our new rival is now USC? That's what they're going to say.
They're on the schedule a little bit. That's what Utah tries to do.
That's what I'm trying
to do. BYU's going to go, our new rival. And then they'll look around and go, Oklahoma State. They're looking for a girl to dance with.
Kansas State.
You have a minute? Hey, will you pretend to be my girlfriend for a minute? I'm trying to make Utah jealous over here.
Iowa State, would you be interested?
Kansas in basketball? We can't schedule you, Utah. Yeah. We got a date with Kansas.
Yeah.
In Lawrence. Sorry, Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Maybe
KU.
Maybe it's Baylor. Maybe that's
not a bad option, certainly right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the end though, if you were to go back, knowing where we are now, and I know this is all hypothetical stuff, but this is fun to me, because you brought this up when we were talking about this earlier. Would BYU have been a better option for the Pac-12?
Yeah.
Are you saying yes?
No, I'm
you're saying marinating that was my question.
The question here.
Now we can look and say, what's the verdict? I guess, but I mean, Colorado has been. Hey, they played in the Pac-12 championship. They were South Division champs at one point
early on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's. I don't know if you can look back and say, would BYU have ever been a better option for the Pac-12? Because I truly think that – I think the Pac-12 is being 100% honest, saying that they would never even invite BYU. BYU's too much of a hassle for a conference like the Pac-12.
Why is it a hassle?
Because it's a private religious institution.
So?
Listen, though. And they do the whole, it's not a research institution. It would be an amazing pick to have in your conference, and you can make it work, except for – the Pac-12 is basically Big Brain Utah, which is like we want to act like we don't need BYU because they like to pull that card. They like to say no. We already have private institutions that are in our conference. We already have these schools that we have Stanford that are good at all the Olympic sports too. We wouldn't need BYU. Would they have been a better option than Colorado? Of course they would have been. Of course they would have been.
I think across the board. Okay, so if you're going to take, I was just merely looking at this from a sports perspective. That's where I was going with this, and I just thought about it this morning, and I saw this article on BYU deciding if they want to play these teams or not once they're no longer independent, and I was like, you know what? What if BYU was actually the Colorado, and I was like. Well, it makes sense geographically. I mean, it's two teams in Utah, two traditional rivalry teams, and that fits in so well with what's going on in the Pac-12. I mean, it's just naturally a no-brainer. There's no rivalry between Utah and Colorado. None. It's kind of embarrassing. It's like the two schools actually really like each other. There's no hatred. There's no future in sight of them being rivals either. I mean, even when Colorado kind of like shattered Utah's hopes of winning
a couple times, they beat them. Yeah,
it still didn't go. Oh, we just hate Colorado. It never materialized. It never did.
I mean, honestly, I don't think Colorado were good.
I just don't think Colorado is a good sports college. And I just think
they've got more recent national championships than Utah, than most of the teams in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but they're out. Okay, I mean, Mel Tucker knew something, and he was like, "I'm getting the Tucker
Carl
out
Durrell
of here."
All
right, I'm heading to
Carl Durrell. Do we have to dump that? No, I'm just kidding. Carl Durrell, he was like, I mean, he had a pretty good first year, the COVID year.
He didn't even meet his team until the first game.
Hey, everybody, good to meet you. Let's go out there. First team kickoff, who wants to be on it?
Yeah, we got a game on Friday.
They started winning
which
games,
is,
though.
Is tomorrow.
They started winning games.
Look, but I my point is BYU, I think, would offer a broader and a more competitive program from an athletic perspective. And I actually think... If this whole religious institution thing, I think it's something actually the Pac-12 embraces. And it embraces, and they should embrace it. And
I'll they obviously have not.
But let me tell you why they should embrace it. Because it's this whole idea of, you know, be an independent thinker. Be, you know, and it's not like, and being an independent
thinker. For the wrong, in the wrong direction for them, though.
But, like, but it shouldn't be. Because it's
a conservative religious school.
It just shouldn't be. I'm just saying, if you could spin it in a way where it could totally make a lot
for
of sense.
For a bunch of hard thinkers,
they're being pretty short-sighted and pretty narrow and shallow about their thinking.
Hey,
about
BYU
things.
Had to wait just a short 11 years to finally get that invite to the Big 12 after, you know, the independence thing. And honestly, the Big 12 is a way better situation for them. It's a way better fit.
I actually don't agree with that. I'm really glad for football in the state of Utah, for the whole state of Utah, that you have two Power Five schools. I think it's amazing. I really do. But with the close proximity and the long history.
For you?
No, it's the history of this rivalry.
You can always
have
that game.
They've been competitive with one another for years. I know. But look, okay, USC and UCLA being in different conferences and having their game every year, the Apple Cup in Washington. Come on, it doesn't mean the same. This is local bragging rights. And okay, fine, you can see what the game is when the two schools aren't in the same conference, but when they are, that game not only is a rivalry game, but it means something for the standings and the end result. And I just think it would have been a better deal, actually. And you look at what BYU's done against the Pac-12.
They've been
exceptional and not competing even on the same, you know, with the same deck of cards. I mean, they've been competing from an independent standpoint. What if they had that Pac-12 cachet and said, now we're recruiting, because it changed Utah's recruiting.
Did you just say BYU is a few aces short of a full deck? How dare you?
Well, they were certainly competing with not the same advantage.
I get it. But whether or not it's a quote unquote advantage, you know, I don't think that the Big 12 is a good fit because they were desperate to get BYU. They wanted BYU so bad, and the Pac-12 could have used BYU. They would have never admitted it. And this is a conference that could have used an extra team that was doing really well right now. They could have used a team that is doing better. Could you imagine if the South Division in the Pac-12 would have been a race between BYU and Utah, maybe a couple of those years in there?
It could have been a possibility. Look, BYU and their entrance into the Big 12 happened because of Oklahoma and Texas. They don't leave the Big 12. BYU is still independent. And really, Colorado should be independent. I just don't get a sense that the University of Colorado really cares about athletics. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why things are so mellow in Colorado these days, but they're mellow.
I got an idea.
Well, so do I.
I got an idea why things are totally cool, bro, right now.
It's the altitude. Yeah, that's what it is.
Hey, it's the same thing going on in California. I get you. Come on.
Anyways, I just really, really think that you know, and it's not going to happen now, but boy, that would have been a nice thing, because I'm not really sure. And aside from just like saying, all right, we're gonna not play Utah just for the spite of it, I don't know that it's to BYU's advantage to actually play. Utah or even Utah the other way with this alliance that's supposed to happen with these other conferences. And if your non-conference games are going to be comprised of teams from the ACC and the Big Ten, I don't know that there's a place for a rivalry game.
Here are the teams that are on BYU's schedule going forward. They have a ton of games scheduled with Stanford and Utah. They have a one-off next year, or the year of their first go into the Big 12 against USC in 2023, and then they play Arizona a couple times. That Arizona game could be a take it or leave it kind of game. Because there's a couple.
Arizona's on the rise, Alex.
They'll keep. Okay.
Ted Fish is.
Boy, they're that top recruiting class in the Pac-12, right? But in the end, you keep a team like USC because of the brand on the schedule. Especially that first year in the Big 12. They're going to have their Big 12 schedule come out. And then USC is going to be a non-conference opponent for them. That's going to be a ridiculously tough schedule, but it's also welcome to big boy football. You've got to do it. You have to play those games. And you know, them hosting BYU in 2023 at the Coliseum with Lincoln Riley and them getting everything going, that'll be a tough year. That'll be a really good year for USC probably. So you've got to keep that game if you're BYU. The Utah game, you keep on the schedule as long as that game can happen. Because if you are a fan of any kind of sports, you have to keep traditional rivalries alive. And I don't care about the little differences that Cal Whittingham has. You know why he's over it? Because he's in the middle of it. And he's a guy that is just the taxing part of it to him. He gets to pick and choose everything in his life that makes him comfortable or not. And that's a game that kind of makes him uncomfortable. But for the rest of us, that's an important game. So if you're Cal Whittingham and you want to make the personal decision, if you're the former athletic director, Dr. Chris Hill, obviously would do that same kind of move. I'm assuming you're kind of going in that direction of a person who didn't want to see BYU succeed. That I guarantee that those guys didn't want it to happen. Bronco Mendenhall wanted that game to go away. But you know what? It's not up to them.
It should never be up to them. I know, but why should they worry about it? Because clearly this year is a great example of, look, you can lose to your rival and still go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, really, it's like, I think it's that whole competitive thing. It's like, I don't want to hear it from my neighbors if you're Kyle Whittingham.
Think about the times BYU won the WAC. Think about the years that BYU won the WAC. And they still lost to Utah.
No, that didn't really happen. I don't know what you're talking about there, buddy. But that was because they were in the same conference.
No, but I'm saying there were years that BYU was 8-1 in WAC play, and that one loss would come to Utah, but it didn't.
It was actually to Air Force or somebody, one of those teams. I don't recall
ever
having that happen, but maybe it did.
I'm sure it's on the record.
I don't even know that they keep records of the WAC existence even today, at least at Utah. Utah's existence in like its football program
started
did not. It was the Mountain West. When they got into the Mountain West, that's when the program actually
even then,
started. Yeah.
They're like, the year 2000 and up, maybe.
A lot of people for me go, did you actually play at Utah? I didn't know you played there. I was like,
what was the conference back then? The Rocky Mountain Conference?
Yeah. Here's the one game for BYU. Do they play this game? Do they play Utah State?
You know, that's a really good question. I hope for the sake, again, I'm a traditionalist with that. And if your two non-conference games are Utah and Utah State every year, and you add a third one that's, you know, a USC, you know, I mean, my heavens, keep it that way. The FCS games need to go away. Dixie State, I wish you well. What do we call them now? Is it?
I don't know.
It is
Southern
Utah,
Utah Technical College of the Mines.
Not the mines. So
M-I-N-D-Z.
Mines. Two Z's. But you know what it should be? You've got the Colorado School of Mines. We've got the Utah School of Mines.
Yes.
Okay? We're thinking on a different level. Utah Tech, God bless you. But we don't.
Wait, who's Utah Tech?
That's not Dixie State.
Oh, yeah.
That's not in Orem.
Well, it used to be Utah Tech.
It was.
That school's had some talk about identity crisis.
Yeah. When I was at BYU, those kids go. It's not UVSC. It was
Utah Valley Community College.
It was UVCC.
It was Utah Tech.
UVCC. It was Utah Tech before that.
Yeah.
Any of those iterations could have had a bet. I would take a UVU football team. I would take a UVU football team over a Utah Tech team. Absolutely. Figure it out. You're already in the Big 12. You're already in the Big 12 in wrestling. Let's make you the Big 12 in football too. Why not? Local rivals. Let's take a break here. I don't even know what we discussed the last 20 minutes.
BYU is kind of snobbish.
They should be. They deserve it. They've won a lot of good games over the years to deserve that. Tom Holmo, congratulations. Kalani Sitake, he wants that Utah game on the schedule. Guaranteed. Got more to go on the program. Hey, around the corner, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the transfer portal winners and losers and what it actually means. How do you actually win the transfer portal? Our Jazz update's coming up. We've got our What Are the Odds segments. All the classics today. You're going to get a Sucks to Be You as well. We haven't done that in quite some time, so we're going to have some fun with that. We'll come right back. More to go right here on Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Thanks for being with us. This portion of the program brought to you by RGS Exteriors and Construction. It's a new year. Does your home need a new look? RGS Exteriors can give your home that look that you want with the stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that new look for this year by calling 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110, RGS Exteriors and Construction. Speaking of construction, we're watching the apartment buildings being built across from us here at Vivint Smart Home Arena. That's a job. If I'm not doing this, Scott, I'd want to be operating that crane.
Crane like operator?
Total kid.
Well, you watch cranes, and I swear they never do anything. They're just like
they're
there.
Moving.
It's like they're never moving. And then we actually saw action today, like a big old beam.
Give me some of that sweet crane action. Yeah, you know what's good? Is there cranes up in Salt Lake City. That's a good sign.
I can see three right now.
Right now. Scott's looking, you can see three. I just had somebody reach out on Twitter, and they said, I don't know what you guys are smoking, Alex and Scott, but I want some. You can go to Colorado and get some. BYU hasn't dominated the Pac-12. It would take two more years like the last just to get close to being 500. Recent successes or failures in the past, BYU's a better option than Colorado was. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Makes way more sense.
Wait,
and Colorado's been in the Big 12 before. They can get him out of the old
Big
12.
Was your tweet, buddy, was he trying to say that we think BYU's a great team in the Pac-12? I'm not saying.
No, I think they're just saying that. I think they heard one thing that you said about, you know, BYU's dominated the Pac-12 recently. Like last year they had great success against them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they
beat USC before.
No,
last
I know.
Year.
I mean, like I said. Whether or not you want to say historically over time, BYU is nowhere near as good as these other Pac-12 teams.
Utah hasn't dominated the Pac-12. It's been recently that Utah's done well in the Pac-12. But they've been in the Pac-12 for, what, 11, 12 years now?
Right, and they've played Pac-12 teams previous to that as well. So
I mean, all I remember—
if you were going to add up all the wins and losses, you'd go, yeah, that's tough to play those Pac-12
teams. I'm just saying that Colorado, I think BYU is a better—
yeah.
A better participant than what I mean, and it's not a high bar to beat. You know, it's not like Colorado's just really, you know.
No, Scott, they're an amazing team, and BYU's better than they are. But you think about it too. If BYU
worst case
and
scenario,
Colorado swapped, and Colorado was in the Big 12, that would actually make a lot of sense right now.
Yeah,
way more,
a whole lot more sense.
If BYU's in the Pac-12,
yes.
Now that being said, BYU fan, be excited. You're in the Big 12.
Yeah,
move on.
Everyone should be excited.
And Scott's message today to BYU fan is get snobby, act like you don't need to play that Utah game. Just say it out loud so you know how it feels.
I just think it's funny because they were so desperate to have that game before BYU was, and now it's like we don't need this. We may not need any of these Pac-12 schools.
Yeah, I don't think that. But I don't think BYU is as petulant as Utah is about it.
They're better people.
Way more mature.
Oh, my goodness. I can tell you a story, and I won't.
You're on the radio. You better tell the story.
I'm not going to tell this story.
Well,
there's
just
no way.
Keep the guilty parties out of it, like the names. You couldn't do it without a
– Yeah, I can do it.
Okay, let's hear it.
I was invited by a friend who had – sideline passes to the BYU versus Mississippi State football game.
Okay.
I was living in Utah County at the time.
You had just come back probably, or maybe a couple years removed.
Yeah.
From back.
And he said, would you like to be my guest? It's really cool. We can roam the sidelines, and all these people are hanging out on the sideline before the game. You get to meet them. You know, it's kind of a who's who of the LDS culture is kind of hanging out there.
Is that okay.
Yeah, really, seriously.
No, I know. That
was part of the pitch.
That to me doesn't sound that. I mean, the who's who of the LDS culture. Like they're on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
No. It's like, you know.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. Church leaders. And so I'm like, yeah, I'd love to do that. And Brian Johnson was actually coaching at Mississippi State. And guess who the quarterback was? Dak Prescott.
That and BYU so. Beat him that year. And that was the year that our colleague, I was hosting Cougar Sports Saturday with Dave Noriega. He was filming for KSL TV.
Yes.
He got blasted. He got his feet taken out from under him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was informed 15 minutes before I'm to leave to go to the game, I'm not allowed on the BYU side of the stadium.
For real?
Before or after the game.
Oh, is this real?
And during the game.
Or is this one of those things you can just tell your Utah friends so they'll get mad about BYU?
No. No, it was a real thing.
As I said before, BYU is not as petulant as
exactly. As of course, they're not. and the reasoning was if BYU fans in the stands saw me on the sideline, who is the hated enemy, for, you know,
that well, they would think that you were over there stealing.
They're like, how did he get down on the field? And we can't.
Come on,
yeah. So Ty Detmer was actually coaching there. And he goes, shoot, you can have my sideline pass, and you can come stand right by me if you want. I don't care.
Jeez. Well, hey, that's fine.
Anyways.
I get it.
Without naming names.
Yeah. Well, do the math on who at BYU would have made that decision.
Yeah.
Okay. Scott, the transfer portal, we're kind of getting I don't know how close we are on the on the Jackson Dart decision. Have we been told what that's looking like? So he's meeting with apparently met with Ole Miss head coach Lane Kiffin again yesterday, right? And
can you do that?
Lane Kiffin put a picture up
in
of
the
him
transfer portal. Can a coach fly out and recruit? Is that that a possibility?
Right. I mean, you're basically when you're in the transfer portal, your recruitment is open back up again.
You can have
Is there a dead period
in the transfer portal? Like you can't talk to people at a certain time?
I don't know. But the other thing is do you get like another handful of like official visits or how do you do that? You got five because he got an official visit to Ole Miss. He got an official visit to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Was the visit to BYU a quote unquote official? Because what that means is the team is allowed to throw him gear, you know, feed them while they're in town, put them up at a nice hotel, fly them out there, right? Official visits, that's the stuff that comes with official visits. I don't know how many you get
well, if you come
the second
from,
time around.
What, Kaysville to Provo, that's a long drive. You probably want to stay overnight. Oh, wait.
He's from Draper, remember?
Oh, he lives in Draper now. Oh, well, that's just a small commute. So he probably wouldn't stay overnight. Maybe meet him halfway and they have...
So my question is, and you brought this up, and this is a fascinating thing for me, is that I've seen a million of these articles about, well, who's doing the best in the transfer portal? Let's grade the transfer portal right now of guys who they got. But they're grading guys who they're getting right now. And the transfer portal rankings in the Pac-12, USC is the quote-unquote leader at 12 commits out of the transfer portal.
See, you know what that sounds
you've
like?
You've got four stars and eight three stars. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what that means when guys are transferring from another school. I don't care about your high school stars.
But you know what that sounds like to me? It sounds like, man, the cupboards are bare. Like you need immediate help. I mean,
there was a massive shift in coaches, which is exactly what happened at USC.
But, I mean, there's always going to be movement because of coaching change. That's a lot. That's like significant, and that seems like desperation. Are those players gonna stick? Someone will. Some of them will be good. I mean, if you look at Utah, you'd say, well, Utah had an unmitigated disaster last year and the year before. Jake Bentley and Charlie Brewer were awful. Now, I'm not saying they're awful players, but the fit was awful.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side of it, you can go, well, they got Cam Rising out of the transfer portal, and they got, as you mentioned earlier, they got Tavion Thomas. So, and they got to the Rose Bowl, and those two players were a significant help. So, it's like on one side of it, you strike out, and on the other side of it, you hit home runs.
Well, and if we're just going to go off the numbers, I mean, you've said this too. Like, what's the point of even recruiting guys straight out of high school? Is that the place now to get the best talent, or is the transfer portal going to be the place? And so from that, if you were just to look at the numbers of guys that you get, scholarship guys that you have coming into your program, USC is number one in the country right now of those commits that have come out of the transfer portal. They have 12 so far in this in the offseason. LSU's number two with 11. So if you just go by the pure
same
numbers.
Thing.
I know.
If you just go by the, to win.
If you go by just the pure numbers, then you're looking at all these teams who are just getting a bunch of guys out of the transfer portal and a bunch of guys that are, you know, well, but here's the thing. How many of those 12 guys are damaged goods? You know what I mean? Like, or just
there's
going to
be a percentage. There's going to be a percentage.
And there's going to be two. How many can you say, yes, you're going to come to, like, is Caleb Williams going to go to USC and actually just blow that whole place up? Oklahoma, for as much as we say that they've totally lost in the transfer portal situation, they did lose a bunch of guys, but they have 9 commits. They're number 4 in the country of how many commits they got out of the transfer portal. It's not like Oklahoma is a total cupboards bare situation. And so when you start going down the list, BYU ranks 36th in the country out of the transfer portal, picking up 3. But those were big. Those were big pickups for them.
But if you're a program that has consistency, you've well established in recruiting, and you add a few extra nuggets, you know, like gems that you find, man, just a couple of guys makes a huge difference for a team, whether it's depth or whether it's just in a position that. You know, you're kind of weak at. You don't need to have 12 guys to be a success in the transfer portal. The thing that really shocks me about the transfer portal, though, and I'm still scratching my head on it, how these blue blood programs, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, whatever, how do they need to go in the transfer portal to get players? Like these are the schools that consistently have best.
That's not the school's problem. I think a lot of these transfers, if you
have access to the very best players, in the, like no one tells you no. Like, it's no. I mean, apparently Kayvon Thibodeau said no because the academics just aren't up to par at Alabama. I guess that's the only guy that's ever said no. I mean, you're getting the best talent. Well, what kind of coaching are you doing if you have the best talent and you're losing guys? I don't understand that.
So many of these 4-star guys and 3-star guys show up to these schools, and they actually are 1 or 2-star guys, or they're no star guys. Like they just don't pan out. Like they get on the field and they become totally different people. In high school, when they're playing against those teams, you know, I'm looking at guys, and you go, where are you coming from? And where were you playing? And you were at a big high school, and you're 6'4", and you're 205, and you're a big old wide receiver. We want you. And then they get there, and they're just a massive flop. Or the guy who was the 2-star. I mean, listen, Cooper Kupp is the best wide receiver in the league, maybe. And the guy played at Nowheresville Yakima High School there in Washington, and then played at Eastern, and then comes out of college. And people are like, yeah, he's a nice pickup guy. He's quick. Everyone's looking at him like a Julian Edelman, right? Which is just the white guy slot receiver is kind of what people are basically saying, right? Instead, he's turned into something totally different. But who's going to predict that? You know, who's going to – maybe Troy Taylor, who coached him at Eastern, right? I mean, who's going to totally predict where these guys are going to go? Because then they go to the NFL, if they do, and you have no idea where they're going to be there either. First-round draft picks turn into nothing afterward, and that's the equivalent of a 5-star guy. I don't know. I don't know who the big winner, quote unquote, is. Is it when you, at the end of their career, then we rank you and say, yeah, because ranking how the transfer portal is, I'm looking at this list of transfer portal rankings, doesn't mean anything. USC is, they're ranked at the top of this list of a bunch of schools who have no idea what they're really getting with these guys. They really have no idea what they're going to get, even if they have some
got
tape
Travis
on from
Dye from Oregon.
Yeah, they did. Utah. They're probably the biggest winners because look at their quarterback right now. You could say the transfer portal has been a flop at quarterback because you think of Bentley and you think of
Brewer
and you go, we thought this was going to be something totally different.
Just don't get a quarterback with the
Bentley and Brewer
last name.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think you're go for the R's. Something there. I think you're onto something. Now let's take a break. We'll come back. Got more to go. We got our what are the odds segment around the corner. Sean Payton making his announcement about stepping away from coaching. We're going to talk about the possible future there because, oh boy, Cowboy fans are hoping that guy makes his move across state lines over into Dallas. We'll take that break. We'll come back. More to go. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone Sports Network.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby! You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone. Don't let my chipper demeanor make you think that I'm actually all that happy right now. Oof. Did you get a headset on there, Scotty?
Yeah, I just put it on. Could you hear that?
You like threw it on your head. Was that your head or the headset?
It was kind of this like disgusted, I'm such a radio personality that you don't make any noises that are unprofessional.
Well, there are certain noises you make that are unprofessional. Putting the headset on is the least of my worries.
I'm going to call those noises,
I'll cut you off right there, buddy. It's time for a market update. This is the part where I was telling you I was kind of grumpy about it because the Dow's off 66 points, but the NASDAQ is off 315 points today. S&P 500 off 53. So those are your updates right there for you. Brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. Now anybody can be a day trader. Visit TryDayTrading.com for more information. What are the odds? Goes like this. We throw out a scenario. You give us an answer. And I say you because you can just yell it out in your car if you'd like. Scott and I play this game together, but you're more than welcome to play right along. It's an at-home version if you'd like. So we'll throw out a scenario. 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points for a jersey number associated with that person. Scott, let's just go right into it because it's day number two. It's 2 days after Tom Brady lost a game in the NFL playoffs, and he's not playing the rest of the way this year. And so all we have to do in the offseason is just wonder what Tom Brady's next move is going to be. So what are the odds? Tom Brady retires. He says he's still weighing his decision.
I think Tom Brady actually...
That he retires, not that he stays in the game.
No, I think he already knew this and knows this. I think he has a plan. And I don't think his plan is related to winning, going out in style or whatever. I think it's an age. I really do. I think it's like I'm going to play this game.
He said till 45, and he's going to be 45 when training camp starts.
Right, and so I just always feel like it's at least one more year. Mm. And talking and hearing Bruce Arians, it doesn't sound like he's quitting either. You know, it doesn't sound like Bruce. And so I just wonder if there was some kind of discussion.
If you're Bruce Arians, do you tie your retirement to Tom Brady's? You might as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would imagine that discussion probably happened with them in the beginning. So I'm going to say it's a Tom Brady 12% that he retires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. I think it's low.
I'm going to go with that he retires. I think 44 is not where he wants to be. He's going to do the pouty act right now, and he's going to say he hasn't thought about it. He hasn't thought 5 minutes past it. That's what he said yesterday. I haven't thought 5 minutes past, you know, just what's
where
just
we
happened.
Are right now.
Yeah. And I think he's sort of belying himself with that. Even if he's not, quote-unquote, thinking about it all the time, I think that he is – talking about it, thinking about it with his close associates. So I'm going to go, and I think he's going to come back one more year.
Yeah.
Boy, right when the season's over, though, all these guys are going, how do we get the energy back
Gronk said it best. Which he's not the smartest guy in the room either, or doesn't appear to be, but he sure sounded like the smartest guy. He's the one with all
the endorsement money.
He goes, you never make a decision about playing or not playing right after.
No.
Give your body some time to heal. Let the emotions go away. We're all wound up emotionally anyways right now.
Throw a trophy in the bay.
Yeah.
Just get some things off your chest.
And then we'll make a decision.
All right. I'm going to go with that he retires this year. I think it's low, too. I'll say in the quarterback region. I'm going to say a Troy Aikman 8% chance that he retires. Wow. Give me one, Scott.
What are the odds that Aaron Rodgers is not playing with the Green Bay Packers next season? So he's not around next year. He's out.
This is a high number. This is a high number. I'm going to give it while he was wearing the Packers jersey, Reggie White 92%.
You think it's that high?
Yes. No, there's no way he's coming back to Green Bay.
Wow.
He's already talking like he's moved on.
Wow.
I think he's already talking like he's moved on, and I think that he probably saw enough backlash of people going, "Yeah, we're kind of over you."
We had
the drama that we had to live through with Aaron Rodgers this year, and yeah, he's probably going to be the MVP, but. You know, lose first round as the number one seed.
I mean,
that's no good.
The Packers fans turned on Favre, too. I'll give it. I don't think it's as high as 90.
He's going to be a Viking too.
Yeah,
I don't think. Far.
I don't think it's as high as 92%. I'll say Sean Jones 90%.
Okay, all right.
Who was the other side of Reggie White with the Packers back in the day, and also played for the Houston Oilers?
What are the odds that Sean Payton, who said today he's stepping away from coaching, at least he's stepping away from coaching the New Orleans Saints? What are the odds he actually goes off and becomes the Dallas Cowboys head coach? This is fascinating to me.
Warren Sapp, Jay Crowder, 99%.
I think it's way too high, dude.
No, not at all.
Way too high. You played this game long enough.
If there has ever been a more perfect setup for a coach to go somewhere.
Well, it's perfect. Doesn't mean he's going to do it.
Well, it may not be this year. He may need to take a break. Jerry Jones will get on his jet. And he'll fly Sean Payton to his yacht, and they'll get on a helicopter, and they'll go out in the somewhere, I don't know, Gulf of Mexico somewhere.
Are they on a date? What are you creating for him? Date?
No.
All-inclusive down in Mexico? Is that what you're saying?
What it is it's Jerry Jones just showing how committed he is to Sean Payton. Going to take him on a tour of all of his toys.
What do you like? What do you like to eat? I'm going to get it for you. What do you like? Fajitas? I used to call them fajitas. Jay was silent.
You don't get fajitas on the yacht.
That's Tex-Mex, all right? And that's what we do big down here.
No. Not on the yacht. It's got to be like caviar or something like that.
When you go to those Mexican restaurants and you get the fajitas.
And you get caviar at a Mexican restaurant?
They're still sizzling when they come out.
Oh, yeah.
We get fooled by that every time.
That's a marketing ploy.
You want to? Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah, you know what they do?
It's a hot place, sir.
They just put water on the hot plate.
I'm sure.
Of oil.
Well, because they're like, it comes right out of the broiler.
Yeah.
My heavens. Oh, we got to take a break. I have more on here. What did you say it was? 99% chance?
99%.
I'm lower than that. Yeah. I'm gonna go with a Jerry Rice 80%. I still think he's thinking about it. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. Next hour, we'll jump right into that same conversation with Sean Payton leaving the Saints. What does that mean for the future of even Taysom Hill? Is that guy going to be a starting quarterback? Is he going to be a quarterback at the New Orleans Saints even after all is said and done? There's some money bonuses coming up that the team's going to have to take a real hard look at if they want to keep him going forward, since he was best buddies with Sean Payton. We got more to go on the program. Stay right here with us.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Thanks for hanging out with us, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. We have a really fun time doing this show. It's a fun time. Hopefully you have a fun time listening to it. That's the point of putting the show together. Number one, to entertain ourselves, and then number two, to entertain you. Maybe we should start putting the listeners first, Scott. I'm sick of trying to just be your entertainment. All right? Although it's fun just to be able to chat with you about things. The NFL at the end of the season is always fun.
I like the listeners.
Oh, I do too. No, I'm just saying it's a lot easier to try to please them than it is to please you sometimes.
Oh, I'm hard to please?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's, don't get into a radio relationship with Scott Mitchell, everybody. It's just all heartache.
It's funny how, because I'm a bit difficult.
He can be difficult to work with from time to time. People actually ask me that, and they're like, what's Scott really like? I think people want to hear the narrative of a former NFL quarterback being a jerk, and that's not the story, and so it's kind of disappointing to him that you're a nice guy, that you're a normal dude.
You know,
well, normal dude. Hold on, let me back that up. That you're a guy. That you're just a guy. Normal, I wouldn't say. I don't think you can play 12 years in the NFL and totally act normal.
No, you're not. Here, the guys that I in my era. Okay.
Yeah.
They were actually so nice. Seriously. And they were confident. Don't get me wrong. Those guys, they were Dan Marino was an amazing teammate. Jim Kelly, amazing. Like, we're serious. I mean,
yeah, everybody loves those guys.
John Elway, I mean, all those guys.
Although apparently Phil Simms didn't get invited to
which
to
is
Jim
the
Kelly's
most now Phil Simms? Eh.
Okay. See, that's the kind of stuff. This is why I want you on the show.
Nah, I'm not a huge fan of
Phil Simms.
Uh-uh.
See, but, that's I'm more interested in the guys you didn't get along with.
Well, it's not
because you can get along with most guys. But when I hear like Barry Sanders, not that he was a mean guy or he was tough to get along with, he was definitely a different dude though.
Barry Sanders was fun when you went out with him socially, which didn't happen a lot, but he wasn't, he kind of had his own thing.
He had his own thing going on. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let's jump in here. When we start off an hour with the show, we always start off with the cut. This time we're talking about the end of the football season bringing much tumult when it comes to the changing of the guard and with coaches and all that. Sean Payton, the newest head coach who's not going to be a head coach next year for the New Orleans Saints. We'll start right there with the cut. Let's jump in.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, cut brought to you by this hour, Jimmy's Flowers. Valentine's Day is coming up. Take care of that special person in your life, Scott.
You know what's creepy?
With flowers from Jimmy's Flowers. Order early the best selection of jimmysflowers.com or just visit their brick-and-mortar locations. Got one in Bountiful, Layton, Ogden, jimmysflowers.com. Yes, what was weird?
You know what's really kind of creepy?
What?
Jim Gray and his relationship with Tom Brady.
How about his relationship with
LeBron?
It is Tiger Woods.
It's
my friend Tom.
Yeah, I'm not.
I called him this weekend.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I've had people that kind of feel the same way, and they've asked Jim Gray, and he's so offended by it. But it's almost like there's something he knows.
If you could be like,
maybe it's an agent relationship, something, but Jim Gray is kind of in the know. And
well, they're interviewing him right now.
And I'm like, why Jim Gray?
They're interviewing
like,
him right
so
now.
What's special about
Center.
Jim Gray?
Yeah, he's on SportsCenter right now talking about Tom Brady's non-committal return to the 2022 season. Says he could walk away. Family says he still hasn't made a decision yet. So then they talk to Jim Gray because he feels like family. Your uncle Jim over here. Tell us what you think.
Podcast together.
Yeah, and I mean.
Then he's the last person you want to call
because he's not going to tell you
no,
any dang thing.
No.
And he's going to go, Tom, can I get the breaking story?
He's on the payroll. Come on. It's just odd. It's an odd relationship. And I don't care about if Jim Gray feels offended by it. It is what it is. It's like athletes don't typically have a close friendship with, you know, a broadcaster. And if they do, it's like Muhammad Ali,
Howard Cosell.
Or
kind of hated each other half
Fred
the time.
Fred Couples and Jim Nantz, who were, you know, kind of buddies in college kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's like Jim Gray's a lot older than Tom Brady. It just seems kind of weird.
Sean Payton is a step down as a head coach for the New Orleans Saints.
You know how sad that is?
It's a bad deal.
Can I tell you why that's so sad?
Why?
If I was a football player, I think there might be five coaches. Let me clarify that. If I'm a quarterback in the NFL, there might be five coaches that I want to coach, that I want to have coach me. And he's one of those five.
He might be top of the list.
I mean, if you're a quarterback, it's like, please, could I go there?
Because he's a quarterback's coach turned head coach, and he's an offensive guy.
He understands the position. He understands how to develop a guy. And look, Taysom Hill, what's his name? Tim Tebow said, you know, if you'd gone to a big-time school, you'd have been drafted. And that's not true. Taysom Hill could not throw the football. He was not a very accurate thrower of the football. An amazing athlete. Amazing athlete. And Sean Payton developed and saw, even in Taysom Hill, a guy that could, you know, potentially be a starter in the NFL. I'm just giving you BYU fans, settle down. I'm just giving you my honest. No, I know Taysom Hill can't throw the ball very well. That's just how it is.
generational athlete. Like, he's one of these crazy, crazy athletes.
He found a place for Taysom Hill. And it's sad. I'm just telling you, Alex, it's so sad for football that a mind like this is walking away.
Well, and that's the interesting thing is that he says he's gonna step away from football for a while. Whether that's a TV relationship that people said that he might end up being the guy who takes over for Troy Aikman on Fox.
No.
It doesn't, like, to me, I mean,
we
Sean
don't
Payton
want
is
Sean
like,
Payton there. We don't want him to be
Sean
like
Sean Payton's like one of the young John minds Madden. Of football, it feels like, we, right? Yeah. No. And I don't look at Sean Payton and go, yeah, that guy's got such an interesting personality. I could see him being fine on TV, but we have so many of these dang.
I mean, I'd rather take Brian Billick in the booth.
Brian Billick stepping away from broadcasting, going back to coaching. We'll get into that later. But what does that mean for Taysom Hill, Scott? What does that mean for Taysom Hill now? Because he's got going a 2022 roster bonus that if he – so that's due on the 18th of March –
Gate.
Of this year.
Here's what it is.
His salary is fully guaranteed after that 2022 season. There could be $20 million for him if he's on the roster in a month and a half the team's going to have to pay for a guy who might not be their quarterback. Okay.
There's one side of this that says, turn out the lights. The party's over for Taysom Hill. Probably as a quarterback. I mean, who comes in that has that same kind of philosophy and has that, kind of creative and out-of-the-box type of thinking. I don't know. But if you're someone who, they always tell you the more you can do, right? The more you can do, better deal is more you can do. And Taysom has certainly proven that he's done more than you can do. I mean, Taysom Hill is essentially, in a very humble way, created his career in the NFL. I mean, if he's Tim Tebow, forget it. But if he's a guy that just says, I don't care how I get on the field, where, what, why, I'll do it.
The guy has and there's value in a ton that. He has a lot of touchdowns.
A lot of value in that. But as an actual quarterback, it's really tough. It really is. It's almost, I don't know, that ship's probably sailed for him. Will they keep him and all the value that he brings for $20 million? And the reality that he could actually be an emergency quarterback for you or a backup quarterback for you, it might be worth that. He may still be around. It's going to depend on who comes in there. And I'll tell you who would be awesome. It just popped into my head.
For Taysom Hill?
No, to coach the Saints.
Oh, wow. Because normally, now we're just thinking, where will Sean Payton end up? But I like to hear this. Who's going to be a great coach for the Saints?
I know where Sean Payton's going to end up.
Who's going to be a good pick for the Saints actually
bode well for Taysom Hill.
Because I'm telling you, Saints fans are in the tank right now.
I got the perfect guy.
Who is it?
I have the perfect guy.
John Gruden.
No.
He's like, who dat? Knock on wood if you're with me.
No.
Who? He's got the hair. He's got the hat.
No.
Can you tell me one clue so I could maybe fill in the blank
Kansas
for you?
Kansas City. Why can't I think of his name? Yeah. Bellamy.
No.
The OC. Eric Bieniemy.
Bieniemy, yeah.
Bieniemy, yeah.
Bellamy. You think he'd be perfect for New Orleans?
Yeah. And you know why?
Why?
Because he keeps getting passed over.
So he's got that chip on his shoulder.
He's a guy. He gets passed over. And if anyone has been more prepared and would fit so perfectly in that situation, because New Orleans is a place where there isn't really a lot of expectation. Great fans, great fan base.
There is now, though. But are you kidding? They've had tremendous success.
I understand that, but this is an organization that this could be the perfect spot. It really could. It's one where he could actually succeed. That's what I'm saying. It's not like Jacksonville. It's not like, man, I just want a head coaching job. I just want an opportunity. I don't care. I'm going to take anything. And this one right here is like this could be a this
think
could
about
be
what
a
the
really
Saints were,
really good situation.
Think about what the Saints were for you growing up. Like the Saints were the Saints, Browns. They were the they were the Bengals.
Probably
the,
worse.
The worst. Like they were the team.
They were the team that was like never, ever, ever, ever going to win in the NFL.
So I'm just telling you right now, this is what the value of an amazing head coach can do over time, right? He turned that entire place around. Pete Carroll turned Seattle around totally. It's a franchise that's always been third place in whatever division they were in. You know what I mean? Like third or fourth place every year. Maybe get to the playoffs every once in a while. And now they have a Super Bowl banner hanging up in the, on their field. Now the Saints have every year the expectation to win a couple of games in the playoffs.
I think the expectation in New Orleans is to win the Super Bowl. Get to the Super Bowl. I think
they're just used to. I mean, yeah, because they've been there.
They were very close to that.
They certainly have the talent there. They just don't. It's just
go get Aaron Rodgers,
quarterback.
Ooh, go get Eric Bieniemy and wash out. That's what
they'd be tough.
Don't get Harbaugh. Don't get any of these other guys. Don't get a defensive minded coach.
So Sean Payton leaves, and Jerry Jones starts flirting with him a little bit. Apparently. Mike McCarthy was wondering about his job. Boy, he must be really wondering about his job now. That guy must be. And if you think, and again, you've talked about the egos that are in coaching, which might actually be bigger than the players' egos. A guy like Mike McCarthy, who gets up at the podium and explains how valuable he is, he's convinced, I am the most valuable guy out here. I should be coaching this Dallas Cowboys team. You should be right now because this version of the Cowboys have been a... They've been a very mediocre team. They're the Notre Dame of the NFL. Massive name.
That's true, actually.
Massive name.
That is very true.
Amazing. You know, you think about what the legends that have made up that franchise, and they just can't get out of their own way. And they just are – the expectation's hard. Getting a coach in there that's going to be one that sticks is just
Tom
difficult.
Landry's like Newt Rockne.
Yes. The four horsemen are like Roger Staubach,
Randy White. Randy White again.
No, you start, and then I start to go, Ed Too Tall Jones, get him on a horse. He's standing on it, standing on the ground.
What is it, Larry Allen.
I mean, you know, the Emmett Smiths and the Michael Irvins and Troy Aikmans of the world. But now they've just had this long list of mediocre garbage coaches. Mediocre and or garbage. And it's for a place that it just feels wasted on, right? Sean Payton, if he's available and you're a Cowboy fan, you start busting out the rosary beads, all the things to get this thing going if we're going to continue with the Notre Dame comparison. Because I think that this could be the absolute turnaround for your team if you get Sean Payton to be interested in coaching still and to come to Jerry World.
Maybe,
but the thing about
maybe he brings Taysom Hill with
but
him.
But see, I think
Taysom Hill feel more like he should be a Dallas Cowboy?
What does that mean? Like, what? I don't know. What does it feel like to be a?
He's kind of that all American boy kind of thing, and they're America's team.
Be a weird offensive room to be in. You got the because isn't their offensive coordinator
Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore isn't he? See now, you know, isn't he now of the LDS faith?
Oh, are we going to go with that?
Well, I'm saying you got him and Taysom Hill.
I heard Lionel Richie was.
My cousins taught Steve Martin the discussions, man. I'm just
really?
Saying that.
That's kind of cool. I like Steve Martin.
As always, there's everybody's got that. No, but my mom seriously went to Christina Aguilera's baptism. The stuff we go up with in this.
I mean, Dwayne Wade, you know, he went to somebody's baptism.
Yes.
We know
that. Bring that back around. Yeah. Taysom Hill at Dallas, don't know. He'd have to take on a role of something totally different because I don't think Dallas will accept a Taysom Hill-type quarterback, even to back up Dak Prescott.
Oh, are they too snooty?
Oh, are you kidding?
Too traditional.
Let's go back to the Notre Dame thing. They have no reason to be snooty, but they're going to be snooty anyway. Exactly how it's going to work.
I just
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and getting back to Taysom Hill, and is this bad for him? I just think if there was just one person in the world, it's almost like they were just kind of meant for one another. I mean, because Sean Payton is kind of a little bit of a riverboat gambler. I mean, you think about him kicking an onside kick to start the second half of the Super Bowl. That's a bold thing to do. And he took a chance on Taysom Hill. And is there a coach out there? Is there a new coach, you know, who's like, you know, does he still kind of take that chance? Does he still keep that dream alive? I just, for some reason, Eric Bieniemy just kind of popped into my head. And it just felt like he might be that kind of guy. The Andy Reid mindset, you know, talking about like Patrick Mahomes, he said nobody would use the run and shoot or the spread principles. And Andy Reid said when they started using Patrick Mahomes, they were like, we started looking at some of these concepts and implemented them a little bit into what's happening. So there's kind of a willingness to work with a player and their strengths and what they do, and good coaches do that. And so, you know, maybe if you have a coach that's willing to do that, that's really why Eric Bieniemy's popped into my head. He just might be the kind of person. Now, I'm sure the Saints aren't going, how do we find a head coach that fits in with Taysom Hill? That's not their highest priority. But you certainly need someone with that kind of mindset, I think. That out of the box, clever.
That's the thing is that I think that
what you don't realize, Alex. New Orleans is not a fun place to live. It's
you don't like it.
No.
Of all the cities that you played in, that was one you didn't like.
No. Look, it's. I think people have to be drunk to really appreciate.
Oh,
New Orleans.
Stop it!
I do. It's
good food.
Well, the food's amazing, but it's very run down. It's very dirty.
Oh, it's gotten better. Cleveland's run down and dirty too, but without all the good food.
No, Cleveland's nice.
You got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, got a new stadium.
Oh, they do? Oh, yeah. Baker Mayfield lives there. Let me see here. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got more to go on the program. We've got a Hall of Fame discussion. The Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, the ballots are in, apparently being counted. We're keeping our ears to the ground, see if anybody even gets in this time around. What about Barry Bonds? Should we let that guy into the – I love how we – but at this point, it's a court of public opinion for sure on this matter. Are the baseball writers going to let Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens or David Ortiz in? Or are these names too tainted? We'll talk about that and the possibility that there could be, for the second year in a row, zero baseball Hall of Famers elected this year. Not a good look, baseball. We'll come back and discuss it. More to go here on the program, 97.5 1280 The Zone. It's unrivaled.
Talk Utah Jazz.
Oh, Donovan!
This is your Jazz at 30 update.
Ring the 30-point bell. Jazz at 30 update right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Trent Forrest praised his teammates that suited up against the Suns last night with a thin roster.
Just got to be locked in to the game plan. And I feel like we have a lot of smart guys in just the organization in general. So playing with each other was pretty easy. Everybody was kind of locked in from the start of the game plan to the end. Just had a few breakdowns there at the end. But other than that, I feel like that's what kind of kept us together in the game for the most part.
Jazz at 30 update brought to you by Five Star Painting. Refresh the inside or outside of your home with a five-star experience. With Five Star Painting, we've got the time, skills, and tools. FiveStarPainting.com. That's FiveStarPainting.com.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, the Zone Sports Network. So the news just broke in the last 15 minutes or so. Baseball Hall of Fame, the ballots were released today, and you've got to get 75% of the vote from the Baseball Writers Association to be able to be voted into the Baseball Hall of Fame there in Cooperstown. And only one makes it on, and frankly, there are a lot of people, and he's right on the edge there, too. David Ortiz was 77% of the vote. David Ortiz is your only inductee into the Baseball Hall of Fame this year. It's his first year of eligibility to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, so he's going to be your only inductee into the Hall of Fame this year. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, the most notable on the list of people who didn't get in, specifically because of the fact that it's their last time on the ballot.
Alex Rodriguez is notable.
He is, but this was his first year eligible. These guys can't be on the ballot anymore. So the only way they're going to be getting
that's
it in
from here on
that's
out?
It from here on out for wow. these guys. So I think they can get like the nod from like the old timers thing where they kind of had a recall back to, but the writers can't vote them in. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are not in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and this was their last year on the ballot. And I'm conflicted about it because I watched those guys play all growing up. Their association with PEDs and. The era of baseball that we were in, I mean, it was my senior year in high school in 1998 when that battle between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire was going on.
Yeah, fun time.
It was such a cool time, and I remember exactly where I was when that record was broken. I was sitting in Spanish class in high school, and we were watching the thing on TV. Thank you, public education system of the greater Seattle area. We're watching this thing happen, and he hits it over, and I was just blown away. I couldn't believe how fun that entire summer was of baseball. It was the most exciting. And, of course, it came with a massive asterisk on it. And David Ortiz gets in. He's a name that has been associated with PEDs as well. His is different, though, Scott. I'm not sure how, but I want your thoughts on – Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, guys who are no-brainer slam dunks normally to get in, and even A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez at 34% isn't even close, and he kind of mimics a lot of what you're seeing with guys like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, who their name came up so many times. And then there was the part of the denial part, too, that kind of gets people. That's like an extra strike, right? And A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez is 34% on his first year on the ballot. He is a slam dunk Hall of Fame guy normally, but because of his association with the performance enhancing drugs and what the baseball writers want to do, I'm looking at today this story about how it's a shame with these guys if they're not able to get into the Hall of Fame because it should represent the totality of what they brought to the game, but the totality was totally ruined by the association with performance-enhancing drugs.
So you want me to send this conversation off the rails?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Like right now?
Yeah.
I think you'll be totally shocked by what I'm about to say.
Let me hear it.
Here's the problem. Well, you have these great players, and I think the question mark is, well, how great would they have been had they just been like everyone else? And they probably still would have been great. Maybe not had the numbers. Who knows? Maybe the duration of their careers. Mm-hmm. You just don't ever know. But were they really the only ones? Or were they just the ones who were actually caught? And then you have these athletes and you go, well, okay, they feel this pressure because they probably know other people are doing that. Like in my era, I knew a lot of guys that were doing stuff like this. And they knew it was illegal, and I don't know that the professional leagues really cared all that much because you knew when you were going to get tested, you knew how to beat the system, and I think that was probably the same thing in baseball. I mean, they have these rules, but they don't for years start testing people. I mean, it's a weird thing. It's like they kind of turned an eye to it for a long period of time. I'm saying the Major League Baseball and really the NFL.
When you say you knew guys who did it, like did you watch guys who?
I knew everyone who did. Everyone did it. Like come on,
human growth hormone,
whatever. Like it's anything you can do to gain an advantage. And so the perception was, well, if I'm going to compete, if I'm going to be here, I got to do it. And whether that was the right perception or not, that's the pressure people felt.
Yeah.
And when you're an athlete, you're like, you know, I'll do anything to succeed at this,
or to stay in this game. That's one we've heard a lot.
Yeah, of course. And I can't imagine the pressure to that, right? But this isn't what's going to derail the conversation. This is what's going to derail the conversation. You have Major League Baseball, who said, you know what? We're making a statement here. These guys that cheated in any form, they're not getting in. That's how much that means to it. You're going to be banned, right? Lance Armstrong. I mean, fall from grace, terrible. Okay? So in our world today, the perception is if you have a competitive advantage by you know, some kind of enhancement of the biology of your body, that's not acceptable. And so you have these swimmers who are biologically a male and they perform as a female. And if you want to be transgender, you want to do all that stuff, I don't care. But that is the same. In my mind, it's the same thing. You have a competitive advantage. You just do. And it's just not fair. I just don't think it's fair. And I think there's been a precedent set that says biologically, if you're different, if you're enhanced by how you are, then you have a competitive advantage. And no one wants to see that.
Then the bar is different. And it's one thing to be born with an insane amount of talent that right. These guys have already been blessed with. You were talking about during your time at Baltimore, Brady Anderson who showed up.
Who couldn't hit 30 home runs his whole entire career.
He was a leadoff guy. He was hitting he was hitting 17, 20 home runs.
Punch and Judy hitter, you know?
Suddenly he's batting
singles everywhere.
Suddenly he's batting cleanup and he's hitting 50 home runs. And everyone went,
I don't think everyone did that. Well, I think they ultimately
after everything you
well, what I found, he came to the Ravens facility
when you're at when
and
you're
when I was
Baltimore.
With the Baltimore Ravens and all he wanted to talk about was how guys worked out. He was fascinated. He was just like, what do you guys do? How do you work out? And at the time I thought, well, that's just really odd. You know, it's not a conversation I think I would have going to kind of crossing over to another sport. And then later it came out and I was like, oh, okay, it makes sense. I see why, you know, he was so fascinated and so interested in that. How can I get bigger and stronger and what do I got to do?
Were you ever approached by somebody to like, hey, man, this is available to you?
I had to dial it back. I wasn't trying to dial it up. Like I wasn't trying to get bigger or stronger. I was trying to, like, not gain weight. I mean, really. I mean, that – and I'd get drug tested probably about 8 times a year. About half the season.
Everybody said the HGH was how people got away with it because it wouldn't show up in the regular screenings.
I have no idea. I mean,
I'm gonna ask you if you did it because I don't know.
I tell you if I did it at this point in my life. I'd tell you.
It doesn't matter, yeah.
No. But I was like, how do I lose weight? I'm not trying to get bigger. I'm not trying to get stronger. I'm trying to get skinnier. And I even asked the testing guy that. He goes, oh, you'd be surprised how many quarterbacks
are in that same boat.
They're trying, yeah.
Oh, they're trying to use the
steroids. They're trying, yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, it's pretty much at every position.
Yeah, when you're 6'6 and 240, nobody's going, I got to get my muscles bigger.
No.
Because then they're going, Scott, we're going to convert you over to D-end.
Right. Yeah. Which wouldn't be all bad.
Oh, come on, quarterback to defensive end, that'd be the weirdest Taysom Hill type utility knife situation ever. So there it is. David Ortiz in the Baseball Hall of Fame as of today, as of just a few minutes ago. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens on their final time on the ballot, eligibility-wise, for them to be voted in. A committee at some point can put them into the Hall of Fame, but you might see that well after their lifetime. I mean... But, yeah, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens both short on their last attempt to get into the Hall. Alex Rodriguez, another big name associated with PEDs, also at 34% on his first time around. David Ortiz and Alex Rodriguez, if you were to ask me which guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, it's by far it's A-Rod. I mean, I grew up a Seattle kid, right? And so I when he came to the Mariners, man, it was we couldn't believe how amazing this guy was. And be able to have him and Junior on the same team was like the prospect was insane. But now, again, A-Rod and what his history has been associated with performance enhancing drugs. There you go. So David Ortiz is going to be the only member of the Baseball Hall of Fame inducted this year. We'll come back. We've got more to go on the program. And when we return, we've got ourselves a it sucks to be you. Our famous segment, Sucks to Be You. Scott's going to roll out. He said he has a special song for this. I don't know what that means. But We'll do it next. Stay right here with us. It's Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Make yourself feel a little bit better by basking in the misfortune of others. Unrivaled presents Sucks to Be You on The Zone Sports Network.
Forward down the field. What the heck? The Lions team that will not yield. What? And when the blue and silver wave,
you stand and cheer the brave. Everyone knows this song.
What? Is there a cuss word in there? What was that?
No, rah, rah, rah.
Oh. Might as well be a cuss word in there.
Blue and silver, man.
So what is this? The,
Okay. A Lions victory.
The Detroit Lions fight song. It's now the official song of Sucks to Be You.
Well, that's what this segment is. It's the Detroit Lions Sucks to Be You segment.
Brought to you by the Detroit Lions
fight song.
Just always. Listen, you know what? So Sucks to Be You, the whole concept is.
Is that not the worst song in the world?
Oh, it's. What was that guy? Jeez. It sounded like a you know what it sounded like? It was a bad one of those 80s cartoons sound like the fake Transformers or something. It sounds terrible. I mean, listen, there's a reason you don't win. You can't have a song.
You can't have a fight song like that.
You can't have a song and lose like that because then you're just a glutton for punishment. At that point, you're just taking it on the chin, like the guy,
he owned that song, though.
I tell you what, NFL teams, though, need to bring back the band. I think the Washington football team has it.
Do they still have the band?
I don't know, but... It's a travesty to me that you walk into an NFL stadium and you don't hear the same type of sound. I'm not asking you to do an Ohio State.
No.
That was just as cool, by the way, at the Rose Bowl.
It was legitimate.
Not one. All the Utah fans went, you know what? I don't know how this game turns out, but our band loses this.
Yeah. And we'll listen to your band.
We'll listen to your band all day, man.
Yeah, even after the game, their little victory song.
Yes, everybody was like,
"Yeah, that's pretty cool."
Got something special going on.
But it doesn't have to be a traditional band. You know, it could be. You know, maybe it's a jazz band. Maybe it's a rap band. I mean, you could have some real. Is there such a thing as a rap band?
Would you call it a rap band?
A rap.
If you call it that, then we can't do it.
Could have band aid.
Now I heard you guys have like a rap band. Can you bring that to our?
Well, what do
stadium?
You call it? Rapper?
It's a group. It's a rap group.
Oh, it's
group.
A rap group.
Yeah, you don't want that for.
What's the difference?
But that doesn't. You need an. You well, need
what's
a,
the difference between a group and a band?
Okay, listen. You need an environment. You need an ambiance created at a game.
Yeah.
And you need a band to be able to do it. That's what college football has over the pros. You got the bands. What is this? Is this going to be the Dolphins? Look out. Football, here we go. Houston Oilers,
number one. Houston Oilers. This is Miami Dolphins.
This is the Dolphins song, too.
And the Houston Oilers. The greatest football team.
This is
goal
awful.
To go like no one's ever
Boy,
seen.
The NFL.
Yeah, we're on the ground.
They are on the ground.
When you're talking Oilers, you're talking Super Bowl.
Okay.
Now that's a song that you can get
Miami
behind.
Miami Dolphins, right Seattle Seahawks, like fill in your team.
I know.
This is garbage.
This is an
the
awesome
NFL
song.
Does everything great except for this. So far, we've just found out if you have a team song.
Look, in the 1960s,
you'll be facing a sanction by the league.
In the 1960s, when this was a thing, that's the way things sounded.
Why do they have to have like a little band that sounds like the president's coming to town? It's like, what did you used
well,
to do?
He's coming to the, coming
tell
to
me
town
your credentials.
He's coming into town on a train.
Coming here,
that's
hey,
what it sounds
tell me
like.
Your, yes, it does. It sounds like, tell me your credentials. Well, I was in the Army band for a while. Well, could you maybe give us a sample on your bugle, what you would do for a Houston Oilers song? Well, sure. Gosh. So here's how it goes.
You know the history behind that, right? So Joe Robbie, who owned the Miami Dolphins,
right.
That he wanted someone to create a fight song for his team.
He did it.
And he did it, yeah. And he wouldn't pay the guy.
Okay.
So the guy said, okay, I'll go out and I'll sell my song to someone else.
Just as a
– And
I
guess who
bought
he sold it to?
Yeah, the Oilers. I would have bought it as a joke, too. Our team's going to roll it. You know why? Because we're going to have the same song as the Dolphins.
No, the Dolphins still, both teams use the fight song.
And they still sing it to this day.
And they still sing. Well, the Oilers don't.
Okay, sucks to be a Detroit Lions fan, a Houston Oilers fan. What are now the Titans?
Well, the Lions.
By association, the Titans.
But the Lions, it sucks to be you, like that. That's for a whole lot of things.
Hey, guess what sucks to be, though, for real, is New Orleans Saints fans. I'm just telling you right now, I don't know who you're going to hire as your head coach. It's not going to be Sean Payton. And you're not going to get the same results. You might be going into that paper bag obscurity, paper bag over the head obscurity that you've had in the past.
Mm. You might not.
They're tough. Look, they were the Aints for a reason.
Yeah.
It was a bad time to be a Saints fan, and without Sean Payton, it sucks to be.
I'd even go further than the Saints fans, as I said earlier.
Yeah.
I'd go for the NFL fans. I mean, if you're an offensive minded fan of the NFL,
and a guy leaves with that kind of caliber or talent,
it's just one less really good mind in the NFL, and that's a bummer.
There's a bunch of bad minds. There's a bunch of bad minds in the NFL.
Yeah, there are. Whoa, man.
Sucks to be Major League Baseball. You voted in David Ortiz. They were close. They were wondering if anybody was going to get in. It would have been the second year in a row that nobody got into the Hall of Fame. You've already got a sport that is
they're in a lockout,
in a work stoppage.
It's like no one cares. Like no one.
You need people to care.
Do you even care that they? Okay, fine. One person got in the Hall of Fame this year. Like think of the NFL. Like there is actually like, man, who's gonna make who and there's this anticipation of like, oh, he got in. You know, people are excited about it. Baseball, no one's excited about it.
I have a hard time because, you know, I grew up going to a lot of baseball games and I have a really hard time just assuming that the end of that we're watching baseball kind of melt down. I mean, not that it's totally going away. I don't think it ever really will totally go away, but
okay, if you're Pete Rose,
heyday's
who
over.
Didn't cheat when he was playing, and you talk about a body of work, you know, like his body of work
as a player.
They call
it a totality of right. a career, yeah.
Should be in the Hall of Fame.
Of course. I think so, too.
And I think every time this comes up, it does. It sucks to be Pete Rose.
Curt Schilling, they said, was on the edge, and then like 2 months ago, he said, take my name off the ballot. I hate that place. You know, kind of pulled the most Curt Schilling thing that we've that we've seen in the last. It's just like it couldn't have gone more Curt Schilling.
Yeah, but why would you have to be voted out just because of your personality?
Because the baseball,
I mean, if you're really going to look
baseball
at
baseball writers,
like, you need to be nice to us, or we're not going to vote for you. I mean, that's what it sounds like. That's petty. Come on, that's not an objective view. And voting someone
writers,
in on their skills.
How many baseball writers
you
are
need
in
to
the
be?
Baseball Hall of Fame?
You have to have a good personality. That's BS.
Yeah.
How many are
how many baseball writers in the Hall of Fame because of their totality of their body of work as players?
I mean,
I don't know.
Harry Carey, maybe?
Was he a player?
No, he was. Take me out to a ballpark.
No,
isn't...
I know. I'm saying how many of those writers.
Take
me out to the ballpark? Is that the name of the song? No, I'm saying how many of those baseball
writers. Stretch.
I know. How many of those baseball writers actually played the game?
None of them.
But they pull the strings like they're the ones who are the total gatekeepers for this.
I know.
It's tough.
It's that way for any sport. It's
Did
like,
you
come
call
on.
Take me out to the ball game, take me out to the ballpark?
I don't know. Take me out to the well, I don't know. You know what the song is.
I have sung the song in the Harry Carey broadcast booth at
Wrigley
Stadium.
Well, congratulations for you. And what is the name of it?
Take me out to the ball game.
What did I say? Take me out to the ballpark?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Well,
it's so
you
funny
go
to
the ballpark
know,
to see the game.
I know,
it's
but
like,
that's not the name of the song. Oh, the Star Spangled Song thingy. Come on. You can't do that. Okay, come on.
You can do anything.
I like, know.
You can spell things wrong in a text message and people know what you're talking
I know.
About. They get it.
All right. Let's take the break. Eric.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes. Yes.
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
House attacking Cameron Johnson goes behind the back, steps through to the rack, finger roll layup and in. Clarkson for three, off balance three, got it! Double clutching off a pick on the left wing.
Good effort last night from the Jazz. Did that sound condescending? It was not. It did not mean to.
No, the youngins, they kind of showed up last night, and they put forth an effort for about 3.45 quarters.
Jazz lose at the Suns. I think we were anticipating that, of course, seeing what the injury report was yesterday with basically everybody out who was a starter and some. Now, as of released about 20 minutes ago, the injury report for tomorrow's game preliminarily for this Jazz versus Suns game here at Vivint Smart Home Arena is Donovan Mitchell still out with concussion protocol. It seems like a long time, by the way.
Wow.
Rudy Gobert out with the left calf strain.
Wow.
Now, those are the only outs right now. Of course, that could change quite a bit before tomorrow. You might see some other questionables, and then you'll see kind of the full-on closer to game time tomorrow. But Donovan and Rudy out again on this game. I'm concerned about...
I have some breaking news before we get too far into this.
Oh, yeah? What do you have?
Well, I've been looking out the window at the John Stockton statue.
Oh, did the mask get taken off?
And I thought earlier that the mask was still on, and so I took a picture.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you know, you can zoom.
You zoomed
it in.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
The mask is gone.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
There's no mask on John Stockton anymore.
Well, the old hardy har har of the jokers around town who went, "I'm gonna go put a mask on the statue." How far away did they come from? Do you think? Was that a Utah County move? Somebody came for 45 minutes, and they go, okay, here's what we're going to do. I've got these masks. You wear them. Because there is security here at Vivint all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot mess around.
It's hard for us to get in this building.
I know, but not just
with
that.
With a badge.
There was
is that a real
there
badge?
Was a person yesterday who was flying a drone just to, like, get pictures. Of
right.
They shot that thing out of the sky, okay, with lasers, all right? So you better watch out. It's not,
they had the person cuffed on the ground, up, you know, with their face planted in
the
cement.
They were definitely having a discussion with the lady.
Yeah.
And it was cordial, but you could tell with the drone on the ground and her packing her gear up, it ended in the arena's favor. Yeah, so the mask is off of the John Stockton statue. That seems actually
his shorts look longer in the statue than they actually did in real life.
We assigned him much shorter shorts in our mind. He had short shorts on, but like kids nowadays.
They were short.
No, they
shorts.
Were. They were. But I've seen some guys trying, because it's kind of gone back. You've seen the shorts that went way too long.
Yeah.
You think of like the Allen Iverson era. Those things were.
They were knickers.
BYU appropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they were beyond
now,
that. They'd be conservative for BYU.
Now, we got them hiked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, also some breaking news. Scott's agent.
Oh, boy.
Tony Agnone is going to come on the show here with us. Now, Tony has represented a lot of big names across professional sports over the years. How long has he been your agent?
He was my agent my whole entire career.
So,
yeah.
How long has he been doing this?
Really interesting in how I found him as an agent. I'm not going to tell you today. You got to tune in tomorrow.
So, here's the thing, too, about tuning in tomorrow to hear Tony Agnone. He's got all the dirt on Scott. I just want to ask questions about what kind of client Scott was.
He represented Michael Strahan. You've heard of him before.
Heard of him.
Yeah.
But I just want to ask about what kind of client you were, what kind of client that he – don't roll your eyes at me. Look, you said you're going to – if we're going to get your agent on, we're going to ask him the questions.
Oh, he'll tell you the stories.
So that's what I'm interested in. And I'm interested about this just to see how the business has changed, because we hear about how much of it is a business and how negotiations go and close calls on guys versus guys that, you know deals that were made, deals that could have been made, all those kinds of things, the behind-the-scenes look with Tony Agnone.
So he had a moment with me, and he's been an agent for a long time. He's been around for a long time.
And if he's still doing it right now,
right? Think about 1990 was when I was drafted, and he was in the 80s was when he started. So he's
been doing it a long time.
He's been doing this a long time. And he said his best moment as an agent happened one day when he was representing me. I'm curious if he's had another moment like that.
Okay.
That moment was pretty cool.
Well, we'll get it all ready for you tomorrow. Yeah. Kind of get the inside look from a professional sports agent. Scott, we got to get to the cut here, as we always do.
Oh.
And this is going to be a Jazz edition of the cut, so let's just jump right in here. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled.
top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
So as I said, the Jazz and Suns.
Can I ask you a question?
Last night, yes, please.
All right. And I want your, I want an honest answer from you.
You know that's the only thing I give you.
An honest answer.
Okay.
I saw a message regarding the Utah Jazz, and I was like, I wonder how many people feel that way. And the comment was, I'll tune in to watch the Jazz in 2 weeks.
You know what?
So my question to you,
from
Alex,
a rating standpoint for
is how
for our association with the
how
Jazz.
How do you feel about that? Are you gonna tune in through all of this stuff, or are you gonna just
I'll just
wait
tell you right now.
Comes back?
There's a little bit of I think that all of us have we watch more aggressively and with much more passion when the team's winning. And I'll tell you what happens is this is a hardwired situation that we have built into us as human beings. We protect our hearts by not putting as much energy into things sometimes right. when we know we're going to have our feelings hurt.
So we fight or flight. And
yes.
Sometimes we decide to flight.
If we want
to
flight for 2 weeks rather than fight it out with the Jazz, I wouldn't call you any lesser of a fan. I'm not saying that you're any less of a fan for doing it because there's some real – look, you know how it is, Scott. The energy we spend on our on the teams that we watch, it's not worth it sometimes because of the heartbreak. Bills fans over this weekend, I mean, they're not going to get over this. Sean McDermott said he's going to feel this in his gut for a long time.
Oh, it's going to hurt.
Forever.
It's going to
hurt. And unless he's able to parlay that into a season of happiness of winning a championship of some sort going forward, unless you can – if you stick with the team – and this is not me saying – this isn't a fair weather situation either. I don't think you're a fair weather fan because you dip out for a minute while they're trying to work through COVID and injuries. Because I think what they're saying is that I don't think we're that far off of seeing the Jazz do well again. Okay? Seven Jazz men in double figures last night. And when I say seven Jazz are in double figures, Eric Paschal double figures, Jared Butler, Jordan Clarkson led the team with 22. Trent Forrest had double figures. Hassan Whiteside in double figures. Rudy Gay in double figures. Daniel House in double figures. Okay? They had seven guys in double figures, Scott, and they only had nine guys available. And so that shows you the type of fight and teammate. That makes you love this team. But you know what you're not tuning into is to watch a starting team. You're not tuning in for the Jazz to watch Daniel House, Trent Forrest, and Elijah Hughes.
Can I tell you what I think the Jazz should have learned from last night?
Tell me what you think.
And I'm not a big fan of his, and it's only because of what I'm about to tell you. You should be a big fan. Chris Paul. If you watch, Chris Paul has changed the whole culture of
the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And they've talked about this and how this guy is the most annoying, feisty, will never give you an inch ever at any moment. And here are the Utah Jazz.
Does this sound like somebody familiar, by the way? Tom Brady?
Right.
Veteran guy rolls in, has a certain expectation, and the entire organization jumps in line.
And when the game is on the line, Gordy Chiesa brought it up, and he said, here's a guy, you know, this is a closer. This is a guy that closes, and he does. And there's more times than anybody in the NBA where he's had over 10 assists without any turnovers, this guy's all it means is clutch. But when you're having to make decisions and dish the ball, and you do it without making mistakes, it's someone you can count on. But it's really an attitude because you're basically playing the Jazz's junior varsity. I'm not making light of it because all these players, you know, it's kind of fun to see Jared Butler start to develop and see some of these Trent Forrest and some of these guys that, you know, have been developing for the Jazz and to watch and see that happen. It's awesome, right? I'm not making light of it, but it certainly isn't the ones. And it's very easy to play down to your competition. Right. And just say, oh, you know, and in some regards, you could say, well, maybe the Phoenix Suns did that. But Chris Paul, when the game was on the line, he's like, I'm not messing around. OK, I don't care who's playing. I'm playing the Jazz's best or the Jazz reserves. I don't care. And I show up every game, and I show up with a certain type of game and a certain expectation and a certain respect for the game of basketball. And I think it's a great thing for Jazz Nation, because we hate, you know, the Houston Rockets and Chris Paul, and he's annoying, and he does his sweet move, and it flops, and now Devin Booker does it, and it's just annoying. But I don't care. The guy shows up when it really counts, and you have to respect that. But more than just respecting it, like, learn from it. And this Jazz team, I think, if anything's happened, has been inconsistent. There have been times they just haven't figured out, you know, and Donovan Mitchell's, you know, he's a superstar of this team. And that's the next level for this Jazz team. They talk about winning a championship. Rudy Gobert brought it up. He said, you know, there has to be this willingness to play at a high level and at a certain standard every single night. Whether we're tired, whether it's back-to-back, whether we're playing the first string or the second string, we don't take anything for granted. And we play it the right way every single night. And if anything came out of the game last night for Jazz folks, that's a great lesson right there.
I love to hear that, because, I mean, in the end, and again, I think
this isn't an indictment either, Alex.
No.
It's not, I'm just saying.
I'm reading it for what it is. It's exactly. I mean,
learn from it. Like, embrace it. You know, incorporate it into your, you know, the your preparation for the playoffs as a team.
I'm hopeful. I have a. Here's the thing, too. We get so set in what's happening over this last stretch, and they lost to the Warriors on Sunday. It was a 2-point loss, and it was a close one. This one was even closer than I thought it was going to be. They end up losing by 6, going into the fourth quarter with a lead, right? And you know, in the end, I was pleasantly surprised how things worked out. And that's not me trying to be condescending either. The Jazz shot well from 3. I mean, they were 14 for 31 from 3. And that's a very normal Jazz stat line on a night that everybody is back and healthy. Didn't shoot particularly well from the line, but, you know, they were 50% on the game. They were 45% from 3, and they made 15 free throws, which usually works out for a W in the Jazz favor.
You know, here's what I'm curious about last night and the last couple of nights when a lot of the guys are out. Because I'm a believer in, you know, short-term injuries are challenging, but ultimately they create depth, because guys don't have an opportunity to normally play and get minutes, and now you have a chance, you know, to get meaningful minutes against a good basketball team. I mean, the Suns' best record in the NBA. So the question to me is this beneficial to the Jazz down the road?
Right.
Do these guys getting these minutes and getting, you know, development time, does that help the Jazz this season? Does it have an impact? Can you count on some of these guys to come in and give you meaningful time when you play? Because, you know, in the playoffs, you're going to have some versatility. You're going to have to be able to match teams in certain situations. And you look at a lot of these young guys, and, you know, they want to get up and down the court and run. And you see kind of some of that length and that athleticism and the defense that they are showing or developing into, and you just wonder how much of that can help you down the road. That, you know, maybe some of these guys, because, you know, some of them look like they can score too, and kind of having a little bit more of, you know, because it's kind of like, well, we got to give up some offense to get a defensive player, but maybe you don't. Maybe you have it in the building somewhere with some of these younger guys.
With Donovan out tomorrow, likely, and Rudy both listed on the injury report as of 20 minutes ago, with Rudy and Donovan both out, I think that people just automatically go, yeah, chalk it up as an L. But I think this is – now with this game being at home, not that home has been particularly great for the Jazz this season compared to other seasons, but – I think that they must have taken a ton of energy out of the fact that it was a second night of a road back-to-back, and everybody was gone, and they still put together a game that they could have actually won. So I'm interested to see.
And they're playing good teams. Golden State and Phoenix.
These are the best teams. I'm interested to see how this thing works out and what they do learn from these things later in the season. Maybe they point to this and go, when those guys on January 24th got in the game and there wasn't a starter to be seen, and they kept it with as close to the best team on their home floor as possible, maybe it does. Maybe it makes it to where those guys can be more valuable for you down the road. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. More to go on the program. We've got our NFL roundup. We've got our two-minute drill.
Out, world-class wings, and see why we say at JCW's, quality and a lot of it. Come in and see us at our new location in Harriman.
What time is it?
It's half past the hour and time to talk Utah Jazz.
Oh, Donovan!
This is your Jazz at 30 update.
Ring the 30-point bell. Welcome back to Jazz at 30 update right here on the Zone Sports Network. Head coach Quinn Snyder talks about his team and has to be their best self before the playoffs show up.
You get confidence from playing hard and playing together. And you get confidence from having an identity. And our identity as a team has gone in and out at times this year. So that confidence will come when we continue to perform at a certain level, whether we win or lose. We've got months before that happens. And I want to be the best version of ourselves at the right time.
Jazz at 30 update brought to you by Five Star Painting. Refresh the inside or outside of your home with the folks at Five Star Painting. They've got the time, skills, and tools. FiveStarPainting.com. That's FiveStarPainting.com.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. The other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the NFL Roundup right here on Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone. Alex Keery, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell, here in front of me. The NFL Roundup every day brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used cars in inventory. Shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. Hey, I just saw something interesting that one of my buddies put up on Twitter. Hopefully the topic isn't too dark, but I was just, they had this awful shooting at the school in Michigan this year. I mean, we've had school shootings
right. That
we've had to, watch unfold across this country before. And
very familiar, by the way, with that,
And there's a Michigan high school. This teacher posted on TikTok something interesting. They taped hockey pucks to the front bottom of all of the students' desks in her classroom. And those hockey pucks are basically the thing that are like a last resort. First of all, how awful is it if we're talking about that? That's the kind of thing. But she showed that this is what she's doing in her classroom to like fend off active shooters. And I thought, I think our mode is guys. I think I do this all. I do it a lot less now that I'm out of my 20s. And when I was a new dad, I was like, guys, we like to spend time at night thinking about how we would take on somebody who comes in the house. They like have these like.
I'm not in my 20s.
But I mean, like back then, I almost wanted it. Where you're like. Yeah, I hope they come in,
I don't know.
But I have six kids, and I don't there's no version of me wishing somebody would come in and what steps I'd have to take to try to defend my family. I'll try to do it. But this is all I've seen this video of this lady and she's like, look how easy these pucks are to throw. And I thought, what a terrible thing to have to try to
I think your mindset is like, what would you do in that situation? It's kinda like what we were talking about before. You would run away. I mean, you don't want to get shot, right? That's what you're trying to figure out. And so, but you also don't want to just be defenseless.
Well, there is a human human response.
You can't put a bunch of guns underneath the desk.
No. But there's like a human response too. I think that there would be people who would actually, instead of the flight thing coming, the fight thing would happen, and then they would, that's why I think we get heroes in a lot of these situations.
So I asked my kids about this when they were in high school, right?
Yeah.
And I go, how do you feel about this? And they said, Well, we think that there is potential. There's potentially an issue like that. This might happen while we're in school. They're not naive enough to say, oh, this will never happen. So first of all, they're like, this potentially could happen. So they're aware of this. And I said, how does it make you feel? And they go, well, you know, it's kind of stressful. I mean, it's a challenge. It's, you know, I hate to see this happen. And you know, I told my kids, I said, there are certain people that I'll just say, go to their classroom when you're in this situation. And the reason for that is because those teachers would actually give them a fighting chance. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, I'm
and they said, well, what do you mean?
Well, that's the whole point. They're pointing it out.
I go to those classes.
Yes. They were just pointing it out, like,
because those teachers have hockey pucks in their classes. that's essentially
it. Well, and you know, that was the thing that they were pointing out, was why on earth is this the thing we're asking students and teachers to do? You know? That's wild.
Well, because it's going to happen.
Isn't it sad that they're like, hey, students and teachers, defend yourselves with these hockey pucks. You've been throwing pucks at people for your whole life up here in Michigan. Now use it. It's like, no.
I mean, it's something to relate with in Michigan for sure. And a hockey puck is a real one.
It's substantial. Yeah.
And if it's frozen, that's even worse. Hit the corner of the eye with a frozen hockey puck. That'll put you out.
That's an orbital bone fracture there.
That's an orbital bone fracture for sure.
Scotty, NFL roundup. Sean Payton, of course, he's going to be stepping away from coaching. The Saints are going to start looking internally for candidates. Here's the tough thing, because I think a lot of people have been having this discussion today on Twitter about, you know, who deserves a shot is you got to look on the inside and look at their defensive coordinator. And, you know, there's a guy who's been from the ground up. He's been in the organization forever. And this is a team that has had a 1,000% offensive mind running this team. And it's been the key to their success. Now, they've had an amazing defense over the past couple of years. But I just don't know if there is a version of having a team now where you – I would want to. Maybe it's because I've been hanging out with you too long. Dennis Allen, who's their defensive coordinator, is a guy who's come up in there. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's put together an amazing defense. Pete Carmichael Jr., I think, is a pretty good – their offensive coordinator's got a really, really good offensive mind. I think it would be really hard to go from an offensive perspective. Here's how we're going to win these games. We're going to score as many dang points as possible. You think of a Saints offense and you think of that ball going in the air 40 yards, right? And you think of a 300-yard passing game and your back's out of the backfield catching the ball. Because here are the real numbers. This is a guy who has Sean Payton has 152 career victories. Which is pretty darn good, right? But that's a 64% winning percentage, and that's 20th in the history of the NFL, which doesn't sound like that great. But the guy hasn't been coaching that long, and he's been doing amazing things. This is a guy who wins in the postseason too, has an above 500 record in the postseason, and it's because they have this insane They rank first, according to the numbers. Peyton and the Saints rank first in NFL history in points scored, yards gained, among other stats in the offense over the last six seasons combined. 27.5 points a game, almost 400 yards every game that Sean Payton's teams take the field over the last 6 years, and that is something that you cannot have fall off.
So what's a challenge for the Saints? The challenge for the Saints right now is they're behind the eight ball because all these other firings happened way before. So potentially maybe the best candidates are being gobbled up and are taken right now. And again, that's why I thought a guy that's maybe a second tier guy that maybe keeps getting overlooked but could end up being a superstar for you, and Eric Bieniemy is a guy. But the other thing, what if you had a chance to get Aaron Rodgers? What if you're the Saints but it's like
Sean Payton's all, I'm back out of retirement.
But Aaron Rodgers comes as a package deal.
Devontae right? Adams.
Well, no, it's quarterback coach or, you know, the
for
OC.
Sure.
It, that's what's happening in Denver. You know, he's getting love right now.
Pete Carmichael Jr. is also no slouch when it comes to the offense. But I just think
if you're the Saints organization and you go, we've got a shot to get Aaron Rodgers. And how often does that happen? Right? They understood the significance of Drew Brees. And you're Aaron Rodgers, and you go, wait a minute, I could still be in Green Bay, and you saw the champions or the divisional game was in the snow. You play all your home games indoors, climate controlled. You play Atlanta indoors. You play Carolina,
Tampa Bay.
They're all warm weather places, you know. So you're playing 11. Well, what is it? 11 games a year.
Don't forget that 45. Don't forget that 45 minutes ago you said that New Orleans is not a place you'd ever want to live.
Well, you don't live there, but to play football there is a different story.
I think that everybody who goes down there and has success, though, buys in 1,000% to the community.
And it's a great fan base. I mean, there's a lot of good things about it. Believe me, because they're a long-suffering fan base, so they know how to be good fans there. I'm just saying that if you're the Saints looking for a head coach, that would seriously be something to consider. You know, if we could get Aaron Rodgers here because of our climate, our football team, we're not far off, and the right coach that puts in the right system for him here, kind of like what happened. I mean, Tom Brady, part of why he went to Tampa were those things, warm weather, Bruce Arians, and a chance to win. And that's what New Orleans kind of sounds like a little bit to me. They're not that far off.
Antonio Brown was reportedly offered $200,000 by the Bucks to get mental help. They said, and that's like coming from him, almost like it was a. He said. And this is an interview that Bryant Gumbel did for Real Sports on HBO, and it's going to air this week. But apparently one thing that they did is Brown says that the Bucks office offered to pay him $200,000 to check into a mental health treatment facility. Is he saying that like it's a negative? These guys at Tampa Bay tried to make an agreement with me and give me $200,000 to go to the crazy house, said Brown. That was an actual quote.
Right.
Looked like they know what they're talking about. These guys are unprofessional. Somebody offering you a bunch of money to say, hey, if it's about you missing out on a couple of paychecks, we're going to pay you $200,000 to go get some help because we think that that's an investment for us so that you can be with the team long term. That sounds as professional
as it
gets.
Did you see Talladega Nights, the legend of Ricky Bobby?
Yes.
Okay, the part where he's running down the backstretch like he thinks he's on fire and taking off all his clothes?
Yes.
What does that sound like? A.B. leaving the New York Jets stadium, running around, feeling like he's on fire, taking all his clothes off. Like, and he's saying that
this sounds like a Ricky Bobby quote, too. Right. They're trying to make me look like a crazy person. I'm not crazy. It's them who's crazy.
Right.
And you go,
yeah,
buddy, they were willing to pay out of their pocket for your mental health treatments because they felt like you were worth having as part of the team.
I will tell you, mental health issues are real, and there's nothing wrong with getting help for something like this. And the pressure of playing in the NFL can exacerbate any kind of issues that you might have. And so you really, like, you know, I don't think he's making light of this. I just think he's being in denial of this per se.
Which I think is probably a problem that runs rampant in the NFL too.
Yeah. Believe me, it's
I don't have any problems. Frankly,
I was approached. Just so you know, they said, you know, we have a person available if you're interested.
And you know what?
And you know what? I was interested. And you know what? It's helpful. I'll just tell you that.
As the son of a therapist, I can concur.
Yeah.
It's almost as bad as the full cuss word. son of a therapist.
Look. They came to me when I started this show with you and said, you're going to be with Alex, and you're probably going to need some
extra. Somebody who offered it?
You're going to need some extra attention.
You were approached. I assumed it was a team. I assumed it was one of your NFL teams.
Oh, no. Both situations.
Both situations.
Yeah. They said, there's help available. We understand how, you know, Alex can be, you know, a lot.
How dare you. These fools tried to offer me all this money because Alex is one needs to go to the crazy house. Not me. I'm Scott Mitchell.
Alex is the director of the crazy house.
We'll take the break here. We've got the two-minute drill around the corner. A bunch of stories we're going to kind of jam here at the end of the hour. So stay with us. More to go. It's 97.5, 1280 The Zone on the Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, right?
On 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Hey, if you miss any of the programming on this station at all, at any part of the day, you can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. The Unrivaled Podcast is easy to find. Scott and I, you can see our ugly mugs right there on, well, I'll speak for myself. Although our mugs look much better these days. Since we've
They're
mug-licious.
That's
not a word.
I made it up.
Hey, or you can just download the KSL Sports app, and you can go and find the show that way as well. Oh, you know what that music in the background means? Something special. By the way, I want to make sure and sneak this in. Visit the Ford Fan Zone on Level 6, where there are free Papa Shot games, cornhole, foosball tables. Enjoy incredible city mountain views while relaxing, enjoying food and drink, taking in the game, and socializing with friends. It's the Ford Fan Zone at Vivint Smart Home Arena. It's got the two-minute drill. Here we go. Rutgers, apparently, I know this is a shock, but Rutgers apparently had a $73 million deficit last year. Now, Rutgers is a state school in the beautiful state of New Jersey. It's the Garden State. $73 million is usually that type of a deficit gets picked up by the students, the taxpayers, and donors. I think that you're going to have a lot of large athletic departments that aren't necessarily successful athletic departments in college. That deficit is big in college. In the pros, they just about share the money.
Yeah, but you know what's shocking about Rutgers to me? This is New Jersey. Okay? New Jersey is very populated. They talk about Texas and Florida and California as like hotbeds for football recruiting.
Dude, they have access to New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and all that.
Rutgers, I mean, New Jersey by itself, though, is a lot of great players have come out of New Jersey.
Name
one. And there's no university. Like, they don't – everyone leaves New Jersey.
9 million people in New Jersey, Scott.
And it's as many people as live in Michigan. I mean, they're close. There's a lot of people in New Jersey.
There's 10 million in Florida.
No, there's about 18.
Oh, sorry. That was from 1994. Yeah, you're right.
There's a lot of people in Florida. But
21 million people in Florida, Scott.
I'm just telling you, Rutgers could be a hotbed. It could be a great place if someone would just figure it out. And they just don't. And it's really sad.
They can figure it out in Nebraska. It's population in Nebraska. Stand by.
About 1.2 million.
I don't know if it's. I don't know if it. What did you guess?
I'll say 2.1 million.
1.9 million.
Yeah, I'm not
you're right there, man. Yeah. 1.9 million in Nebraska, Scott.
I know my population.
Figure this thing out. Come on, man. The NBA apparently is creating a mini tournament for the All-Star game with rookies and sophomores. I don't know. Look, trying to crack the code of what a All-Star weekend looks like. I mean, the dunk contest is whatever it is.
A mini what?
Mini tournament. It's not many people. It's not small. It's not children playing, Scott.
I know, but what? So how do they do it? Is it like a one-on-one thing? Is it?
Yeah, man. So no, they just said it's going to be the new format for the Clorox Rising Stars.
Oh.
It's the Clorox brand Rising Stars mini tournament. Here's what it's going to be. It will feature 7-player teams competing in a mini tournament consisting of 3 games. Each game will be played to a final target score. So you've got that thing. You've got to get to a certain point, right? And it'll and the game will end with a made basket or a made free throw instead of just the clock running out. So anyway, they're going to have 28 players, 7 teams. That's kind of fun. Because if you have a couple, they can't help but be competitors in this situation. And I think that's what you need in a game like this, or in a weekend like this, is of an all-star tournament. All right.
Attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
Attention.
With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. Final segment. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Scott, what do you want to talk about here?
Well, apparently the USFL will be having its inaugural season this year.
Will, yes. What are we, like 2 weeks after the Super Bowl?
I kind of get excited about stuff like this.
You and I were both, when the Stallions came to town for the AAF,
man,
I just wanted something
to
work.
We were so duped on that one.
And the whole community was.
Yeah, that's just...
I thought it was a little weird when you and I became part owners when we chipped in $50.
No kidding.
No, but, you know, we were kind of like, we were just hoping that a spring league would work.
Yeah.
We went to the games to kind of see what was going on. It was decent football. They had the chip in the football. That was
they
a thing.
They had some fun innovations. In it. I mean,
so
it
the
was,
USFL,
was a thing.
By the way, the Birmingham's USFL team, or the Stallions,
took the name.
Please, took the Salt Lake Stallions name, man. Yeah. My kid sometimes wears, because we had one, remember they sent gear over when they first started? They had beanies and stuff. The other day my kid was wearing a Salt Lake Stallions beanie, and I went, hold on to that thing, man. Put it on eBay in 50 years. People are going to go, what?
eBay won't be around in 50 years.
No, no. And there's no way that there's no way anybody's going to want a Salt Lake Stallions beanie anyway.
Mm.
I mean, my son does.
I would hold on to it.
So all the games are going to be played in Birmingham? Is that what we're getting from this?
Yeah, Birmingham, Alabama.
How does that work?
Well, you don't have them all at the same time. Maybe you have them on a Friday, Saturday. I'm just speculating. I don't know how it works.
Well, of course, we wouldn't be playing them all at the same time.
No, but what is the one thing that just derails these leagues? It's not interest per se. It's just the day to day operation of these teams and the cost. It's just, you know, I'm sure this has to do somewhat with cost, and maybe it's this first year they're like, look, let's just get out of the gates, let's get playing, let's just make this happen, and it's just one of those things, I think, to keep it manageable, I guess. I mean, they have like television and streaming and all
it's
that.
It's going to be on network TV, right?
So most people, about,
I
most
think
people,
some games are going to be on Fox and on CBS. You're like,
I mean, if you can go and say, look, you can watch three games in a day, maybe they get a decent crowd at the
stadium.
I'm
just telling you right now. I know that we poo-poo this kind of stuff all the time. If it's on TV, I'll probably turn it on.
I know. That's what makes everything popular.
If I got on to
they need to go to streaming. Seriously, they need to take technology and kind of get out in front of it.
Some option there.
I mean, that's
Scott,
where this thing
Hulu
really
has live sports.
It's where it's all going to go that direction.
Well, I'm
sure.
Excited about again. The USFL seems to have its stuff together a lot more than the AAF, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is USFL 2.0 or 3.0. I thought the XFL I thought the XFL was supposed to be coming back.
XFL was supposed to get partnered with the Canadian Football League, which I thought was a good move.
It's a bum deal. Didn't work out.
To bring Canadian football to America. Like they did
if
with
you're
hockey.
Have even a couple of sets of rules that are different, throws it off. All right.
Well when you cross the border, it changed the rules.
Hey, tomorrow, Scott Mitchell's agent's going to come on.
Oh, boy.
Reveal all the secrets of his career, plus what
I'm
it's
excited
like
about that, by
to
the
navigate
way.
Professionals in this world. So for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks to our producer, Jeremy. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.